Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Many Mansions Sunday Interfaith Service with Reverend Douglas James Cottrell and the clergy of Many Mansions Spiritual Center and the International School of the Prophets Seminary. You can also visit internationalschoolofthepropheters.com to join this service via Zoom every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. We now join our Sunday service.
Well, welcome everyone to Many Mansions Spiritual Healing. And just to remind everyone about the our healing service, if you could put your prayers, send them to our email address, or to place them in the chat. And I guess we'll start off with our mission statement. Our mission is to speak of God Almighty, enduring, and to practice unconditional love as much as possible every day of our lives. By humble spiritual practices of meditation and earnest intellectual research, we have come to know in part the great truths of God Almighty and understand in part the great mysteries of the spiritual dimensions or heavens above. In this understanding, we may move forward and develop the spiritual gifts as a demonstration of the divine existence of our immortal soul and its divine existence within each of us, as recounted by the holy books. And this spiritual awareness promotes our willingness to serve God Almighty as we are inspired to do so by our inner soul for health, wealth, and peace of mind. Reverend Michael, would you like to read the prayer for the planet?
Okay. Thank you. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Dear Lord God Almighty, to all the angels, saints, avatars, and divine beings of love, I ask for the divine grace to shed the beloved rays of peace upon the planet Earth, to soften the hearts of those in authority and influence their minds in a positive way that have authority over the planet, and that all who live on the Earth, that their decisions and actions will always be for the greater good of all, and that the planet be filled with peace and harmony every day and every way. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Michael. And for the Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, love is patience, love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. And now for the Lord's Prayer. So we can just bow our heads and our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. And thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread as we forgive others who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. And now I'd like to introduce Jack for the sermon.
Well, thank you, David. And I'm going to share here. Yep. Thank you. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank God, Douglas, David, Doug, and the whole board for having me speak today. It's Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to everyone. And since this is Father's Day, I wanted to talk about our Heavenly Father. I thought that would be appropriate. So all of us have some kind of father figure in our lives, whether it's a biological father, you know, you may have a stepfather, you may look up to a family friend or someone you admire or just, you know, just look up to. Turns out I have no biological children. However, I am a father figure to many people. Actually, I get surprised all the time when someone tells me that they've looked up to me. You just never know who's watching you and your actions as well. So take a moment, think of someone in your life that you look up to as a father. You know, why do you look up to them? You know, is it the way they treat you? Is it just because, you know, the way they are or what they do for you? One thing good fathers do is they give us guidelines to live by. They show us the way to live. They correct us, you know, when we need it. That's a father figure. And that's the role of a good father. We have a family member who has a very good stepfather, and she grew up with him. He treats her family well. Treats the family well. However, she'd like to know about her biological father. And for various reasons, that's not likely to happen. So some earthly fathers, we may never know the way we want. But what about our Heavenly Father? What do we know about him, and what are his expectations for us? I think we can get some clues to that. We're going to start by looking at Genesis 1:26 here. This is the verse for the day. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." I'm sure many of you have seen this verse before. Today we're going to take a close look at this verse. There's a lot of meaning built into this that's just not obvious when you look at it the first time. And the first thing we're going to notice about this is that humans have a different status or role from other living things. You see here that he says, let humankind have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds and the heavens and the livestock. So he's placing humankind at a higher status, you know, one that has dominion over the animals. So we're different and special among God's creations. We're not on the same level, so to speak. There's a clear distinction. So let's take a look at the rest of this verse. So how God made us. He said, let us make mankind in our image after our likeness. That's kind of interesting. In our image or likeness, what does that really mean? I mean, we're gonna investigate that a little bit here. First, I just want to talk about puzzles, jigsaw puzzles. Sandy, my wife, and I, we've taken up a new hobby. We're putting jigsaw puzzles together. Haven't done that in I don't know how many years. You know, we've been working diligently for 50 years. We just recently retired. I saw this show on Netflix about these people who competitively put jigsaw puzzles together, and they time them. So I'll put a 500-piece jigsaw puzzle together in 35 minutes. Well, we're working on this one. It's been a week, and we're not even like halfway done with it. I'm like, how are these people doing this? Well, first of all, they're very focused. They have a plan, a strategy, and they put all the pieces together, you know, after a lot of thought and coordination. So the point here is that we face a lot of puzzles in life, and we have a little puzzle here today that we're going to work on. This puzzle about Genesis 1:26. So we're going to focus on the in our image and after our likeness, to be made in our Heavenly Father's image must be something that applies to all humans. So it can't be something that some people have and some people don't, right? I mean, so it can't mean looks. I mean, it can't be about, you know, their color, they're black or white or brown or freckled. Can't be about if they're tall or short. How about physical disabilities? Are people in different categories in our Heavenly Father's image too? And we have to say, of course they are. It doesn't matter. Now, I happen to like this guy, Nick Vukovic. I'm not endorsing him, but I'm just saying he's an inspiring person, motivational speaker. He was born with no arms or legs. He's married. He has two sons and two daughters. He can swim and type 43 words per minute. I mean, I just think that's amazing. But was he created in the image of our Heavenly Father? You know, of course he was. We can, you know, pretty safely say it's not about physical appearance that determines whether you're in your Father's image or not, Heavenly Father. How about consciousness or being aware? Is that what a person needs? What if a person's in a coma? You know, are they still, or born with a mental handicap? Would that be a criteria? Doesn't seem to fit. You know, you get into these discussions about what level of a mental handicap or, you know, at what age do they become, you know, in God's image. I mean, it doesn't really work. How about intelligence or rationality? Do any of those items fit into what's our Heavenly Father's image? What about if a person has Alzheimer's? I mean, were they in God's image before that, and now all of a sudden they're not because they have an illness? You know, it doesn't really make sense either. So, you know, if you're perfectly born at perfectly normal at birth, and then you have an accident, you know, that can't affect your imaging from God. Think about this a little bit more. How about communication? Does a person need to be able to communicate? You know, we have all kinds of animals that can communicate. You know, Coco the gorilla could do sign language. We have Ruby the elephant that painted pictures, but that was here in Phoenix, as a matter of fact, where I live. How about a parrot reciting a sentence? Well, we already know from the verse that we're in a different level than animals. So it can't be about communication. Of course, Helen Keller was born deaf and blind. She was certainly in the image of God. I was listening to NPR radio the other day, and they were talking about these studies of people that couldn't feel pain. And to me, I was like, wow. Can't feel pain, you know, I can't imagine living that way, but they're trying to understand that. But my point is more about, are they in our father's image? Of course they are. You know, all the humans are made in his image. I said his, but, you know, our father's image. So it must transcend race, gender, physical qualities, mental capabilities. It has to apply to everyone equally and be a unique just to humans. So have you figured it out yet? Our puzzle for the day. It's probably more puzzling than you thought. So it's really the way that you read in our image. It is really more about our Father giving us a functional role, not a qualitative one. We're God's representative here on earth. We work as an imager of God, our Heavenly Father. It's a status role that we have. It's not a quality or a qualitative role. We're to function as God would here on earth. Of course, some of us do it a little bit better than others. Maybe Jesus did it perfectly well, but all of us can aspire to that level. And this is something we can all do no matter of our place in life, you know, no matter of your job, no matter the relationships you have. It's regardless of your race, creed, gender, abilities, status in life, or whether you're, you know, ill or in perfect health. We can all function as God, our Heavenly Father, would function here on earth. We can all be his representative. But what does that really look like? What does God, what does his image look like? Well, here are some of his attributes, some of his outward attributes. He's holy. He's morally excellent and perfect. He's loving. Of course, he loves everyone. And it's not really based on whether you're worthy or on merit. And he's righteous. He always does right. He's just. He's fair in his actions. Merciful. You know, he's loving, kind, compassionate. He's righteous, respectable. Anger is slow to kindle. He chooses the right path, which always ends in good fruit. He is wise. He's good, gives according to goodwill, fair, corrects and just, supports the righteous, says the truth. He's faithful, keeps promises, and loyal. So no matter where you're at in life, where you're at, you can always be the image of God and know that it is not by our actions alone that we're saved. It's because Jesus came to us and saved us by his death and resurrection on the cross. And because of our actions, we can show our faith and represent an image our Heavenly Father on earth. And I thank you for your time today. I hope you can take that and it helps you get through the day and live like our Heavenly Father.
Okay, thank you, Reverend Jack. Reverend Jack, that was really telling. Okay, is Pat around to read the healing for the chat? Mm-hmm. How about Rebecca?
I'm here. Patty's not here.
No. Okay. We're just gonna have Reverend Michael explain the the healing for us, and then I'll turn it over to you if you could read out the people who wish to have a healing for today. Is that okay, Reverend Rebecca?
That sounds just wonderful.
Very good. Excellent. Hey, Michael, take it away.
All right. Thank you. Well, to receive virtual energy, hold your hands and palms outwards toward you in front of you at approximately shoulder height and just absorb the energy. Let it come into your hands because there's chakras in your hands and it'll wake up your chakras. And to send this virtual energy, you hold your hands and palms outwards towards, away from your body, again in front of your body at approximately shoulder height, and sending healing. Breathe in through your nose and expand your abdomen and contract your abdomen, forcing virtue energy out from your hands. Your torso may start to feel warm and tingling. You also feel warmth and tingling in your hands as you send this energy. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Reverend Michael. And I'll just say a blessing for all of us here at Healing. Okay. Our Heavenly Father, our brother Jesus, the Christ, and Mother Mary, and with the blessing of the Holy Spirit, sending out the virtue healing to each of us, starting with Carol, my wife Carla, Beverly, Vito, Rebecca, Maria, Sue, Gaetan, GLS-8, Pumas, Marge, Joe, Jim and Sherry, Regina, and you, Trish, Paul, Michael, Douglas, Jack, Scotty, Michelle, and Graham, to Sandy and Steve, Harry, Scotty, and Doug, Zeus, Celeste, Diana, Anne, Terry, October 7B, Alexandria, Brittany Tips, Eiffel, JP, Stephen, San Diego, Administrator, Grace, Kim, and for the 158 area code and 146 area code. Very good. Okay, Reverend Rebecca, back to you.
Okay, so this is from the emails that we received. This would be for 11-year-old Michael regarding a constricted esophagus, inability to eat and hold any food.
Okay, yes,
very good. First to resolve that.
Okay. Oh, Michael, I can see a white light coming over top of you going through the whole body. Mm-hmm. Okay. The Holy Spirit's working within you. Very good. Carry on, Rebecca.
For Lavinia, for her dementia and her eyesight loss due to her glaucoma, to resolve that.
Okay. Very. Okay. Next.
For Sam, for his to heal his liver cancer, get rid of it, and all of the complications that arise from it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm seeing a blue light moving through. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Carry on, Rebecca.
For Benny, for the pain of cancer in his body, to get rid of that cancer and alleviate his pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for Benny, I'm seeing a red streak, like a curved red line. Yes. Very good. Rebecca?
For Babette to heal her lower back.
Okay. Very good.
For healing for William's knees.
For William's knees, yeah, I'm seeing a red orb moving through.
Mm-hmm.
Going back and forth. Mm-hmm. Very good, Rebecca.
For cleaning and healing of Joe's blood system.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm seeing a white orb moving through the liver and the kidneys, helping to cleanse. Okay, Reverend Rebecca.
For Mary, for assistance and healing to help her with her walking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good.
For John, for healing of his bladder and the all issues surrounding it. And for leukemia, healing of leukemia.
Yeah, so I'm seeing a white light coming straight down. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
For healing Kath Ann from her lupus symptoms.
Mm-hmm. And for Kath Ann, yes, I'm seeing a white light moving through the body. Very good.
To heal Frida from her Lyme disease.
Oh, and Frida, yes. Mm-hmm. Again, it's another white light moving through Frida. Yes, to help her with that Lyme disease. Okay, very good. Very good.
For David, prayers for his eye surgeon so that they will have a successful eye surgery and rapid healing from his surgery.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we send blessings. Very good.
For Joe, for healing. That would be our friend Joe Backdoor.
Yes, I am seeing a white light move through Joe to help him. Mm-hmm.
For healing for Joe's friend Sam.
And for Sam as well. Very good.
And that's all from the chat as well as, here we go. For healing, one more, for healing for Erlinda Juana, for healing from cancer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I'm seeing a pink light move through the body. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Thank you, Reverend Rebecca. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, and I'm just going to end this with a prayer. By the grace of our Heavenly Father, let us bless those who are here and our loved ones. Let us give thanks to our Soul Father for the life, the love, for the lessons we learn. And also, we give thanks for the donations and your support. And for our Elder Brother Jesus for teaching us to be the example of unselfish love. And for our Mother Earth, for what she provides and nourishes to all the kingdoms, for the teachers and their sacrifices. We thank you. Amen. 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 Okay. Well, I guess that's going to end up for now. Douglas, would you like to add anything?
I'd like to send a general blessing on this Father's Day to all the fathers, uncles, coaches, big brothers, all of those who have come into our lives, as well as our fathers and those that have been father-like to us. It is the understanding that men hold a special place in the family. Fathers unite the family. mothers nurture the family, and together parents raise their children by example. As fathers provide that example, the men learn from their fathers how to be fathers, or for those who are stand-in fathers, stepfathers, uncles, and the like. We are grateful for their service. We are grateful for our fathers being in our lives, or for those who have arrived to be a father to us. As we have grown by example to be fathers ourselves, we are grateful for our lives. And we are grateful that we have learned from our elder brother and our Father who is in heaven. As we continue to follow in the footsteps of Yeshua or Jesus the Christ, we continue to develop ourselves to be spiritual beings. To be a parent is a special thing. To be a father has a special responsibility. The integrity and the example and the love and compassion that is shared through the line of fathers and through the families originates with a great understanding of the spiritual abilities, gifts, and consciousness we know and hold to be true. We ask for a blessing of all those who are here today, especially on this special day in which we honor our fathers, those that are heavenly, those that are in heaven, and the other dimensions above, and to those that are still with us. May their sacrifice and their support and their teachings be honored as we honor our father and mother, that their days may be long upon the earth, that we will live up to the standards, to the integrity that have been laid down in front of us, that we have been shown our way. We celebrate this special day. And only when you become a father do you understand the sacrifices your father made for you. And as such, we learn to appreciate them even more. In the name of all that is holy, bless each and every one that is here today. May their virtue go through them to assist them, to heal them, to bless them in all ways, but especially to the fathers, that their sacrifice, that their support, that their teachings and their example has been a blessing. And we are grateful to them, and grateful for our lives. Amen, amen, and amen. I'm sorry I wasn't here a little earlier. I had something else to take care of. I listened to some of Jack's ceremony, or sermon, I should say, and to Dave and Rebecca and everyone else that has stepped up today. I thought you did a very wonderful service. Back to you, Dave.
Okay, thank you, Reverend Douglas. I guess we can, that's the sermon for today. If anybody would like to stay on for the chat, I'll stay on for a little while. If anybody has anything, comments about today's service.
I'll stay around if anybody has questions.
Okay, excellent.
With that, Dave, I'll just say a final, please bless God Almighty, God Almighty, God Almighty. Please bless each and everyone who's here today, no matter where they are in the world. We know there are people from different countries here today and people from across the country. We want to give thanks to God Almighty for the blessing, that virtue going through them, and to those that are meaningful to them. Also, I want to remember that Richard Serrett's mother is in difficulty today, and we ask the angels and Mother Mary to attend to her, as this might be her time of passing. We give thanks for all those that have passed before And we are grateful for the watchers, the angels, the saints, and the avatars above who are here with us today to bless our community. And through this community, we strengthen each other that we are unafraid as we move forward in this turbulent time, in this time of extremes. We are grateful for our lives, but we are grateful for the blessings we receive from God Almighty. Amen. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Reverend Douglas. Yeah, just to remind everybody of what we offer here on Joe, would you like to talk about what your service is, Joe?
Sorry, I've got a moment to try and find my picture on the screen.
Okay.
I have an email. minimansions.helpline@gmail.com. And it's best if anybody wants healing on the Sunday services to send an email to me beforehand. I like to compile those on Saturday afternoons. So then I can send them on and Rebecca or Patty will read them as they did today. Also, if there's anybody that has some problem, anything they just wanted to chat about, the email is available for counseling.
Very good. Thank you, Joe. And myself, I have free Qigong or Chinese yoga every Tuesday starting at 7:30. And it's working to develop the virtue energy within each of us to first develop it, then to be able to move it around the body, and then eventually out of the body into someone else to help them. So yeah, just send me your email at, I'll place that in the chat, my email. And Douglas has a Wednesday, Search for God. Douglas, if you'd like to comment on that.
Every Wednesday, 7 p.m., we have a Search for God study group, which we investigate various philosophies, teachings, exploring biblical sayings or teachings, as well as amalgamating with new understandings to help and improve your spiritual growth. It's my intention that everyone will develop themselves, their special spiritual gifts, as recounted in Corinthians and in other holy books, that they too will develop their abilities for their welfare and the benefit of all. So Wednesday's not an open forum, but somewhat across the board in teaching things like we were recently Hermes Trismegistus. We are on the theosophy. We have been exploring the understanding of the divine beings above and, I guess I could say, delineating and interpreting the teachings from the good books. So you're welcome to attend, and it's every Wednesday, 7 till about 8:30. You can ask questions, and I'll try to do my best to help you get on the path to develop your own intuitive abilities, which is part and parcel of our community. For those who have just joined us, and for those of you who have inquired from my recent appearance on Coast to Coast Radio on Saturday morning, thank you for coming today. Thank you for your inquiry. Please consider being part of our community. We look forward to like-minded individuals coming to join the community. The website is internationalschooloftheprophets.com for more information on that, as well as the Mini Mansions websites. There are two, one in America and one in Canada, and there are others being formed in other parts of the world. This is your community. And these nights that we're putting together will include upcoming a night for meditation, most likely Monday. And then through the week or through the daytime, we'll have also activities. And I suggest or direct you to contact Joe, as he has just said, through his email if you're looking for assistance or help. We'll try to do the best we can. So that's it. I'll stay around a little bit for the service. My work is not done here outside of today's video, a Zoom, I mean to say. but look forward to meeting each and every one of you further a little bit down the path. And also to you, Jack, for stepping up and delivering such a wonderful sermon about our Heavenly Father. Always, whatever comes to us comes from the divine. No matter how you feel, whether you're scared, whether you're grieving, whether you're doubting, whether you're feeling sad, that all can be changed. Faith is built upon belief, and belief is built upon evidence. And when you feel that virtue energy, as you may have felt it today, a warmth, a tingling sensation, a relaxation coming over you, that inspires you with that evidence to investigate further the understanding of the invisible made visible, which is the reason we're here today as part of this community, that you become enlightened with the real aspects of your spiritual beliefs, that you can come to a greater understanding. And through that understanding, your life will be made better. You will not find yourself in a darkness of doubt and despair. You will find yourself with hope, with enthusiasm, and a sense of community that you can reach out and you can address each other. We are here to inspire you. And the only way we can do that is to tell you how our lives were changed and inspired. That's why it's important you become part of the community and join us with our Tuesday night Chinese yoga, which people have felt amazing energy going through them, to come to our Sunday services, to feel the virtue going through yourself, and then to attend the intellectual part of your mind, the questions about spirituality. We can basically answer just about any question you have, any concern you have. And the intention is to get you to explore further with some guidance or mentorship of the wonderful people that are here today in our community. Remember, you now have a place to go. And by me telling you that, you have no excuse not to go there. So with that, that's what Wednesday nights and other services that will be instilled and manifesting along the way will be. We have our Hope conferences that we're developing. You're welcome to go to, let's see if I can recall it, hopeconferencesplural.org and sign up to be part of our Hope conferences. This is our sharing the good word to the world, as the good book directs us to do so. And I have been in many countries in the world already. And prior to COVID, I was going to Europe a lot and South America. There were plans to go to Africa and even far further east. And I have been to India and other places like that myself, basically starting the process of where we're going to go with our communities. But as we take the word and we move forward, what is the word? You are the word. That's right, you. Your understanding and your nature, your examples, your improvement in life, your being better at life physically, financially, mentally, emotionally, and spiritual is the glue that's going to hold the world together. So go to hopeconferences.org and be interested, sign up on the mailing list, and we'll be coming with a Hope Conference somewhere near you in the world sometime in the near future. I think our next one is going to be headed up towards Montreal or Toronto, so keep in mind and keep informed by signing up. With that, again, the whole intention here is for you. We're already well on the path. For those of you who are on the path now, want to go a little further down the path and catch up to us, we're here to help you. And more than likely, you'll surpass us as well. That's the whole purpose of by example of practical Christianity, which is what we're all about. We're an inclusionary organization, not exclusionary, inclusionary. All the world's great religions are teaching the same thing, the golden rule, and how to love. That's it. Beyond that, it's a matter of preference. Make sense? Come join our community. Support us with your participation and with a few dollars. We need the money to keep on paying for the things we're paying and to locate our future residences or properties, our miracle healing property near Campbellford, and also our flagship, I guess you could say, home base, which we believe will be in Fort Worth, Texas. Big plans. That's because we work for a big man, God Almighty. Make sense? Let's have some fun. Let us help you. And with that, again, I want to thank everybody that's here today who has participated in the building of our mini mansions. From Dave and Deacon Dave, Reverend Doug Bentley, Reverend Rebecca, past President Ann, Tim Charbonneau, who is on the board, and we have Mark, who's not here today, and also past director, press directors, I won't say their name, who have been here. So thank you very much for your donations. Thank you very much for your time. And again, I can't amplify enough how important it is that you become part of the community. But that's your personal choice. If you feel inspired to do so, you will be welcome. And the only requirement we have is that you'll be nice to each other. What kind of organization is that that just says you have to be nice?
Reverend Douglas, I had a comment for you and for all the people that are on the chat or on the internet now that hadn't had the opportunity to hear the Coast to Coast broadcast. It is one of the best programs that Reverend Cotterill has done, and I would suggest you go back and listen to it. It is just amazing, and the person that did the interviewing was fabulous. She gave you lots of time to explain and didn't interrupt you like so many of the hosts do. So go back and listen to it. I think you'll find it very valuable.
That was Connie Williams, or Connie Willis, I believe. And that was our first time we've had a talk. And I do tend to talk a little too much, but I was on for 3 hours from 1 o'clock a.m. till 4 a.m. My time, California time, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. And I quite thoroughly enjoyed her company. Thank you very much, Carrie, for that. I was having fun with the show, as opposed to sometimes being on with other hosts that we've been on the show 10 or 12 times. It gets kind of boring because we know, but Connie was a delight. And thank you very much.
I think she wanted you to stay on a little bit longer.
She did, but she wanted me to go for the 4 hours. But anyway, 3 hours was enough. Anyway, thank you for that kind recommendation. It truly was a good show. I did like it. Yeah, I did like doing the show, and we'll probably be on. I've got a couple more offers coming in now this morning, but here we go. I'm the magnet that's attracting people to our community, and there are thousands of people out there, just like all of you, my friends. And some of you are in need for some virtue healing, physically, and of course mentally and emotionally, and we're here to help and to provide as much as we can that connection with the divine. And only through such shows as Coast to Coast and other radio shows can we get the word out. As going on radio, I'm not very apt about social media, but it's happening there as well. But it's you telling your friends and people just like you about these people who are really nice folks. They can share anything with each other. This is the place you can come and talk about those quote-unquote crazy things that you can't talk to anybody else. You know, I saw a ghost the other night. Oh, my gosh. Everybody else says, you're crazy. What were you smoking or drinking? Douglas says, yes, it was a man who was wearing a top hat, and he had a baton in his hand. looks like he was a tap dancer. My God, that was Uncle Willie. Uncle Willie came back to see me. This is what we provide, evidence kind of thing. But you can also share these stories with each other. As Gary just said, thank you very much for a lovely recommendation. From my perspective, I can't remember what I said. I just know I had fun. And Connie was a lovely, a very talented, and I think an excellent host. I could go on about it, but I'm not. The thing to be a good host is to let the guests do all the talking. And occasionally on my radio show, Global Village, you can get to my radio show on Friday nights by clicking on to the blog talk icon or banner on my website. Paul Hughes is here. He produces the show. And Jack also is setting up some live streaming equipment so that we're going to be producing more radio and live streaming on the internet. We're just starting out with that live streaming, but the radio shows are on Friday night. Thank God for Paul Hughes, who is the producer, who's producing the radio show, the service radio show now as we speak. Thank you for that comment, Gary. Anybody else?
Yeah, we have a request from somebody in the chat for if somebody could put the emails up for how to get in touch with Many Mansions and for Joe.
Okay, maybe Joe could put it up and Jack could put the one up for Many Mansions USA.
Very good. Thank you.
And I think someone wanted the Coast to Coast information to listen to that talk show also.
I think it's just Coast to Coast AM, I think is how you get to that. And then I'm not that familiar with how they have a recording or in the archive of that, but I think it costs 15 cents to listen to the show.
I think you're right. You have to go to coasttocoast.com, and then when you get to the screen, it'll say current shows, past shows, and just click on the past show, and it'll bring up who was, you were the only one on for that night, I believe. So it'll bring that up, and you can subscribe to it or listen to it.
Anyone else? Jack, how are you doing today? Happy Father's Day to you. Are you muted? Jack? Okay, everything's well. Okay, anybody else? Hi, Scotty. You're looking pretty relaxed there in your rocking chair. Bettina, you're looking comfortable. Is that your kitchen?
No, it's not. And hello, everyone.
Okay.
It's just a wall. Just a wall with stuff on it.
Yeah, you got one of those round things with hands on it that tells the time now.
Yes, yes. It even talks hour.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, I would still like the Many Mansions website, or I'm the one that asked for all those addresses. I'm not super computer literate, but I'd like to join into some of this stuff.
Okay, well, did you get the email for Joe?
I have one for the yoga, and I have one for the Coast to Coast. And I think that's all I see on the chat right now. I'm going to copy them down. And
yeah, they do tend to move up on you. Joe, would you say your email address again so that could be helpful for Bettina? Hmm. Do you know what it is, Dave? I think it's manymansions.helpline@gmail.com, is it not?
manymansions.helpline@gmail.com.
I believe so.
manymansions.helpline. I'm putting that in a place where I can remember it.
Okay. Anyone else?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Everybody's a quiet chat today. Y'all going out for Father's Day dinner later?
Yeah.
Oh, how do you get to you on Wednesday? I'm sorry, one more thing. How do I get to you on Wednesday? At the same place?
No, you go to International School of the Prophets and click on the Zoom link there.
InternationalSchoolOfTheProphets.com. InternationalSchoolOfTheProphets.com.
Yeah.
That's all lowercase and no spaces?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Jack?
Douglas, I was having some audio problems here, but thank you for the Father's Day wishings.
Oh, you're welcome.
I was informed I missed that.
I didn't hear your whole sermon today. I hope you got through that okay.
Yeah, I got through it. I don't know why. I was, but I was having a little bit of nervousness. I don't usually get too nervous, but I felt a little bit today.
Holy moly, what's the date? Mark that down. Sandy Jack is just Mr. Cool Hand Luke, is he not usually? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. There's something going on. Something going on in the world. I have felt nervous off and on, and all day yesterday afternoon I was clear from here up, but nervous in my chest. That usually means picking up on something around the world, and that might be what's happening to you today. I felt it. Just while you were talking, I was in the other room with taking care of business while the other part of the house. So something's off and on. There's something really horrible coming.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Anybody? So that's, you know, also I've been texting some people in Vietnam and Florida, and there's some interference in my phone as well. So, something in the ethers.
Yeah.
How many, I'll take a little poll here. How many other people have had sort of a feeling of anxiety or nervousness in your chest, or you've had some interruptions with your electrical equipment? Put your hands up on that for the videos. Looks like several of you have. Yeah. There you go. So to me, when this happens, and I talk to people like say Vietnam this morning and different places, when everybody's having the same sense, that's not us. It's not you. It's picking up. Your intuition is picking something up. That's why we need to get together. So when we're feeling this way, we can congregate as a group and put this big umbrella. That's what everybody wants you to do, is to put an umbrella imaginary over your house, over yourself. As if it was raining outside, you put an umbrella over your house, and that should make that nervousness go away. And we know, Jack, that you've been opening up more, and other people here as well, Paul, and Dave's quite astute, it's the same as Reverend Rebecca and Anne. We all feel this the feeling of the neighborhood, let's call it, the world, if you will. And sometimes we forget that we think it's us. It's like you turned on the TV set and you're getting all the bad news coming in at once. Mm. So you got to learn how to change channel. But when that happens, it sneaks up on you. Okay? This feeling sneaks up on you. And all of a sudden your head's clear, but your body's nervous, like waiting for the other shoe to fall, so to speak. That's then because it's outside of you and you have to shut it off. You know, hands over the solar plexus. What I usually do is call somebody up and have a long talk with them. And by engaging them or with their problems, it's a distraction. But when it comes and it goes, or it affects everybody, then it's not us. It's not you individually. That's 101 lesson, how to be intuitive. The more intuitive you are, the more you feel, and the more distracted you can be. But the way to say that, wait a minute, I am grateful for my life. And all of a sudden, you have your integrity back. God is my protector. Nothing is impossible for God. Whatever is happening, it's okay. I'm going to be safe because I believe in God. How many times have we been told, my friends, be a believer. Say you're a believer. Really believe. Don't just give lip service because God knows. You can tell your friends you're the greatest believer and whatever, and inside your heart, if you have any doubt or reservations, the person you believe in knows that. I should say the being you believe in knows that. So you believe. If you believe in God, no matter what comes at you, you're going to be okay. Think of all the saints in the Bible, from Job to Saul to Moses to Christ. Christ was terrified. But he was in the garden of what was going to happen to him. Terrified. And yet he went through with it. And if it hadn't been for him, Yeshua, the name for that one person, for all the sins of humankind being put on one person, we wouldn't be here today. And many of the world's great religions, current and historic, have spoken about this one man and all the sins being put on this one man for the good of humankind. And that's why we have this possibility to save ourselves and not to go through yet again another total world devastation. The world's been completely destroyed 5 times. I wasn't around for the other 4. So this last, Noah destruction, we could see evidence of that. But 5 times, as I understand it, as I've been directed or know, the world has been completely destroyed. So we're up for number 6. And we have a chance to avoid it right here and now. Unfortunately, a lot of people aren't going to make it. But if you're a believer and you believe in God, remember, when Pharaoh was going to kill the firstborn of all the Israelites, they took the blood of a lamb and they spread it over their door as a sign of their testimony, their faith, and their firstborns weren't killed. Everybody else was. You could say a fanciful story. You could say that's very interesting. You can intellectually understand it, but you can't comprehend the workings of that. You don't need to. All you need to know is that something was done as a demonstration of being a believer. That's it. So when you're standing there and you've got difficulties all around you, you say, God's going to save me. But you have to do everything you possibly can to save yourself, of course, but God provides the opportunities or the people. God never does it for you, but will give you whatever you need to get it done. You have to take the steps. That's the secret. It works in reverse. The devil doesn't do bad stuff. The devil has little misguided souls that do it for him, with him. See the same? 2 powerful entities and comes down to the people who side with one or the other, the darkness or the light. So you avoid the darkness and you side with the light. Can't be harmed. Might not like it, might be difficult, but that's your spiritual test, task, or opportunity. It's good that we got the radio show going still. Otherwise, all this good stuff would be lost. Anyway, anybody else?
You know, yes, I'd like to just say one thing to maybe Jack. I have a thought of how my interpretation of the first two chapters of Genesis. In the first chapter, man is created in the image of God, only man. And then in the second chapter of Genesis, God decides to create man and woman with the clay from the ground, and that time he breathes life into them. So I thought that maybe that first Genesis was God creating the spirits, and the second chapter was when he had to create a vehicle for the spirit on this plane of existence. So I just, that's one thing I thought when I read that. And yeah. So I was going to throw it out there.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. That's an interesting take on it. There's actually a lot more to that statement. I don't know if you've picked up on it, but it says, let us.
Yes, create. Let us.
Yeah, let us create mankind or humankind in our image. Those are both plurals. So those have been interpreted different ways by different people. So there's more to that actually that God is referring to, you know, his holy host, you know, all the spiritual beings that he had created
in the first chapter.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a timing thing, you know, were we as our souls, were they created at the same time, or were we created later, or were we mankind later? I don't know, Douglas might have some feeling on that, some thoughts on that, but it could be just that the incarnation of our spirits on this earth were created later. I think that's probably reasonable, yeah.
My two cents worth, Bertina, is this. The Bible was written in ancient Hebrew language. It was interpreted from Egyptian because Moses was an Egyptian. It was then translated into various other forms before it got translated into English. Okay, Latin, Greek, you know, whatever. So my awakening came to the understanding, let's say the quirks of interpretation, was that as a young man, I found out that in the Bible, and the one I had, the words written in red were the interpreter's additions. So what I did is I just skipped over them. And I had a whole new meaning in what I was reading the Bible than if I read the interpretation. And Jack's pointed out a very good thing. I'm smiling here, as you might see. I've had long debates with people about who are us, who are all these gods up there? And then there's one line in there that says about Adam and Eve eating from the fruit, not the apple, but the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What a mouthful that is to say, you know, green tree, okay, apple tree. It's not an apple. And that one line is, we've got to do something about them lest they become gods like us. And you go like, wow, let's go back. Let's see, 10 commandments.
Yeah.
You know, I am. And
there's more than that. If you look at Psalm 81 or 82, it talks about multiple gods. So, I mean, it's strewn throughout the Bible, and, you know, he has a holy court. God has, there's more beings there with him. a lot of interpretations say, well, that's the Trinity. But, you know, like you're saying, in Hebrew, actually, when he says like us, those words in Hebrew are the majestic words us. They don't translate into English. And so he's talking about other, you know, spiritually, you know, higher beings. He's not talking about just the Trinity. But that is one interpretation.
Yeah. This is the whole idea, Bernita, that you all take our own steps on our path, and we learn in a certain direction because that's all we can learn. We can't learn many directions, so we keep taking our steps. Recently, I came across the name of God as Jehovah, but there are seven different Jehovah dash words, like Jehovah Shalom means God of peace. And so the interpretation of that was that there is the different segments of God. And all of a sudden, I remember that there's 108 names of God in the Hindu religion. And each of those names is reference to a division of what God provides. You know, you pray to a certain God, if you will, that is for prosperity, for health, for blessings, for marriage, for children. And you're basically just saying, I'm praying to God in this segment, not here. Sort of a concentration, a telescoping, if you will, rather than a microscoping. So good question. As you can see, we're having a nice Wednesday night debate on the interpretation of Genesis and some of the words. So, when I got to those points, I teach this way. When you get to a point, it doesn't make sense or you can't understand it, don't throw it away. Just put it on the shelf and keep going. Because people get hung up with that stuff, right? People throw at me, you know, like, you know, you can't be intuitive. You know, that's the demon's work. And I'll say, thank you very much. You dishonored me. And they'll say, what do you mean? I'll say, well, you remember in the Bible where there was a man called Legions and Jesus went and cast these demons out of him and they went into the swine? Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Well, first of all, Jesus didn't kill the demons, did he? Come to think of it, no, he didn't. He allowed them to go into a herd of swine. Why? That's another question. But the man who was healed of all these demons, did the people all around the neighborhood come over and say, oh, my God, there's this guy. His name is Joseph. His name is whatever he was known at the time. We would know him as Jesus. And he cast out all these devils. He must be the prince of the devil, prince of the demons. And you go, wait a minute. He just did something amazing, something supernatural. And it all depends on the person's perspective. Did he command them out because he was... because he was their prince, or did he do it because he was almighty? Well, we know, we believe it was Jesus the Christ. So again, those perspectives are, I'm not trying to defend or take a position at all. I'm trying to say that those things that come up are sometimes necessary to sit back and let them mull over. There is an answer, but as Paul said, we're all seeking, like looking through a piece of glass that is dark. You know, we only know in part. What was
Douglas,
that?
Douglas, I have a question.
Okay, PJ.
For quite a while, in fact, you know, in the past, I used to dream about my father all the time. He would come and help me, and, you know, it was like almost like a regular relationship I had with Earth. And all of a sudden, you know, he was just gone. And I haven't really had any communication with him. And I'm wondering, did he just move on to another level, another dimension or something?
Yes, there's three possibilities.
I'm sure he's around, but I mean, it just stopped over years.
Three possibilities. One, you grew up and you didn't need him anymore. You were on your own. Like always, you know, when you teach somebody to ride a bicycle and you got a hole in the back seat, the daddy has to let go so the child knows how to ride the bike. That's one. Two, your father moved on to higher levels of consciousness, breaking the band off in what is called the earth, the air heaven above. This is the, I would call it the earth plane or the astral plane, the level closest. In the Bible, it's called the air heaven. So your father could be there watching over you because he left and you still needed him. And then when, again, you no longer needed him, he went to higher levels. And the third possibility is that his soul decided to come back and do it all over again. Went someplace else. Okay?
Yes.
So I'm not sure which of those was. I'm a hunch I would say your dad said, sayonara, you're on your own, PJ.
Probably.
Anyway, I hope what I'm saying makes sense. We're getting in some heavy-duty philosophy today, but the bottom line is this. Nobody can be vain enough to know or to say they know what's in the mind of God. The infinite is the infinite, and we are in the finite. So we can only grasp a little bit at a time, and that's all we need to know to get by in our humble lives. Because if we had the greater understanding of all things, it would just shatter us. We couldn't comprehend it mentally. So we go along in a certain direction. It's like going to university. You go in, you take the primary courses. Next year, a higher level of courses. The third year, higher. Fourth year. Until eventually you get to take all the courses at university. And then you graduate and you go on to the next level of whatever that next level is. More understanding, more teaching, more, until you become enlightened, self-aware, fully aware, self-realized, partially realized, fully realized, and then supernaturally realized, or to become an avatar. It takes a long time. And the one thing about spiritual seekers is the more you seek, the more you know you don't know. Anybody else? Celeste?
Not today.
How you doing?
The
there you
on.
Go. Now you're right side up.
Moving around.
Yeah, I see that. Nice ceiling. Nice paintings.
Dick. D-I-C-K-S.
Just a minute. Shut up. These smartphones aren't so smart, right? Okay, I've got to go somewhere in 5 minutes. Anybody else? Anne, you doing okay? After you did that major surgery, you bounced right back. We were all praying for you.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm good. It's been 4 weeks. Over 4 weeks, and I was good after about two. Back into working again, and I feel like almost 100%. So I'm doing well.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for sending the healing to me when I needed it.
Yeah, because it really worked. Annie told me, I'm not trying to tell tales, but she said she had the best surgeon in the world. Things went so easy that she wanted to go back to work the next day, and they said, no, you got to take a little time off.
I wanted to, but I didn't. he described my surgery as textbook, so that was good enough for me.
We're all happy about that, let me tell you. Wow.
Yeah, thank you.
Anybody else?
I just want to say thanks for sharing.
Oh, you're very welcome. We love your questions, and if it's helpful, that's even better. And if it opens up more doors, well, we hope that's better. But, you know, it's kind of like every time I thought I had it figured out, nope. Dave's been all over the world. He's been to the Holy Land, he and his wife, I think, more than once. And then he comes back, he tells us stories. It's like, wow. He's been at a place where Zebedee, who was the close friend of Jesus and his family, and he went to his house. And I have some connection with Zebedee. And so Dave took a picture of the place or something and sent it back to me. Like, wow, that was amazing. So we'll go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, that's the picture I have there in front of me or behind me. It's got the inscription on it that says Zebedee and Sons. And this was in Capernaum or Capernaum by the Sea of Galilee. It was a fishing village. And this was in front of like a strip mall. It was all in ruins. But his sons, Andrew, John and Peter.
Simon Peter. But anyway,
yeah, John, Peter Zebedee,
They owned all the boats, didn't they?
Well, no, the father was, he made the boats, and the sons, they ran the fish market, they sold the fish, and Matthew would have had a store there too, being a tax collector. So it was kind of like a strip mall.
Wow.
So
Dave has this way of finding really interesting places like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Grace, had been Santiago. Santiago, is that you from Spain?
No, originally from Argentina, but living in the U.S. right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I know you pop up regularly on the service, I think. So whereabouts in the U.S. are you?
I'm in North Carolina by the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Wow. What a difference, huh?
Yeah.
Are you happy?
We are running a small homestead here. So it's been around over 10 years now. So, yeah, ecstatic.
Okay, now you got my interest. Homestead, does that mean without electricity and conveniences?
Oh, we have animals. Hopefully we run well. We have the kitchen garden. We establish permaculture principles to establish and develop the property, type of landscaping. So a little bit of all, trying to learn some of the traits, husbandry, stuff like that, animal husbandry.
Well, when I did well and moved out of the city, I had a 50-acre farm.
Mm.
And it seemed to me like you got up in the morning,
worked
all day, and you went to bed, and you got to do it all over again the next day. It never stopped.
Yeah. And summers are the longest because you stay doing the projects until the light goes down, but light goes down maybe at 8 o'clock at night. So before you know it, you've been laboring for 6 hours straight. And it's a change for sure. Yeah.
Well, more power to you, amigo. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you're open to having visitors to come down there and they can help you at harvest time and stuff.
North Carolina, sometimes we do have some people to come and assist. It is still a small, we don't have like a business or production in such a sense, but we're practicing growing or farming tilapia in a closed system. It's called aquaponics. And that is still a work in progress. And it's one of the main things that we're trying to focus on this and the following year. So we've established the infrastructure. It just needs to come down to the application.
Okay. What comes to my mind is that I recently saw on one of those videos how you can get electricity out of a tree.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You take a copper wire and about high, wherever there's a scar in a tree seems to work better. You put the copper wire around, you tighten it up, and you leave the wire extended. And you go down the tree about 2 feet, and you do the same. And then this video, whether it's real or not, I haven't tested it out, but it looked real. You can then take a light bulb with two wires on it, and you can touch these two wires on the tree, and the light bulb will come on. Matter of fact, the man had a voltmeter and it was 220 volts or some gigantic voltage. He then took a right-handed angle grinder and plugged in to two wires, and the grinder actually worked.
Oh, that would come in handy. We've got more than enough trees here, so.
I could see the trees behind you, and that's why I popped up my mind. I just recently saw this, and because I'm curious about things, I thought, nah, this couldn't work. But, you know, you can't, it's either trickery or it's real. And so I've been becoming more interested in things about grounding, you know, walking on the soil with your bare feet and grounding.
Oh,
your
yeah.
Okay.
I've been looking into that as well, because grounding, there's so much research nowadays, scientific research that has to do with how your body goes into a neutral state when your feet are even with the ground, and just removing the shoes and just having the, and also working with soil in the garden, it's so therapeutic. It's, and even in New Zealand, well, I used to live in New Zealand as well, and there's a tradition when I was a kid there, children barely used shoes, like even in classrooms, like they would take their shoes off, but even walking around, and I used to play rugby barefoot. So a lot of the Maoris, which are the traditional, the native people in New Zealand, and I had a lot of friends, and they would always walk barefooted. And there's a certain attachment that you get once you associate yourself with the soil for so long. And I do appreciate that so much. Yeah.
Well, I've been taking my shoes off, socking feet, and standing on the grass in my backyard. I've done it half a dozen times. It feels better, and also the ground is irregular, so my shoes that are flat, my feet are conforming to the shoes, right?
Yeah.
So the bones in my feet are freezing up. So I need, anyway, so that's my two cent words about grounding and walking barefoot. But the thing about the trees, just mere copper wire. They took the wire that was sticking out, and they took a knife to, I guess, take the oxidization off the end of the wire.
Uh-huh.
And they touched the light bulb. And I've seen these things about coils and magnets making a light bulb come on. And so I see the trees behind you. It looks like they're small trees, but a lot of them. You might want to give that a try. Let me know. Let us know.
Yeah, I've got some 100-foot trees as well, so we've got all sizes over here.
Wow. Now, what if?
Well, maybe not 100-foot, maybe 50 feet, sorry. But they seem extremely tall. I've got pictures in there.
Okay. Any higher than the top of your head is high, so 50 feet.
No. It doesn't. Yeah, these are super high. Yeah. Dangerous to stay below if it's windy, for sure. That'll knock you out.
Okay, well. Let us know if you give that a try. I'm going to, I don't have any, I have like pine trees in my back, but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, good luck with that. And did you say North Carolina or South Carolina?
North Carolina. It's a town called Asheville. It's in the middle of the mountains, pretty much.
Okay.
Blue Ridge Mountains, yeah, North Carolina. Right between North Carolina and Tennessee, there's a divide right there, and it occurs on the Blue Ridge Mountains, pretty much. And so, yeah.
Okay, sounds like...
Chicago. My daughters live in Black Mountain.
Oh, yeah, I know Black Mountain.
Yeah. Beautiful country.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
San Diego, I sent a message to you.
I saw the link.
I'll explain a little bit about what it is. It's called Harvest Hope, and it's an organization of people that travel in RVs, and they will stay a night or two at farms or wineries or breweries or golf courses or whatever, and the only thing they need to do is when they stay, they'll buy product from you. So usually if you're selling something like eggs or milk or whatever, it's kind of a fun way of meeting people. And I just thought maybe it might interest you as a little revenue stream.
Yeah, we have a couple of houses on the property. And so we end up renting or doing Airbnb. And sometimes people come to either learn the certain practices that we do here, and they just reside in the house. and it's a type of working residential type of thing.
Okay.
But yeah, we work with them.
Yeah, try Harvest House. I think you'll find that interesting too.
I'll try it out.
Okay.
Hi everyone, can you hear me?
Yes, Grace.
Yes, the electric culture, I sent a YouTube on it. It's for, you could put it in your garden. You stick a wood rod and you wrap copper wire around it. And it's supposed to feed the energy into the soil and the plants.
Okay, this is, you take a wooden rod and you wrap it around, and then I think you'll leave it off.
Yeah, there's YouTube on it. There's lots of YouTubes on it, actually.
Yeah, okay. I saw that too.
And
what does it do?
It makes the plants grow bigger and better.
Okay, look out, tomato plants. I just got a couple for Father's Day. So, when you have that rod, do you snake it around the rod or do you have to make it into a coil?
The YouTube has a picture of it. That was the easiest one. There's different methods.
Okay.
But that was like the easiest one. Just a wooden stick and then you wrap the coil around the stick.
Okay.
And that was any kind of stick?
A wooden stick, it says.
Yeah, I guess there's lots of different trees. I wondered also about the copper wire around the tree, if that was any specific sort of tree or if all trees would work.
Well, the man was saying any tree. And he had a voltmeter and he put it on and it was showing gigantic voltage. So a lot of stuff I see, I'm interested, I'm curious, but until I prove it out myself, I'm still skeptical of it. But
you can go to YouTube and ground your bed.
Yeah.
It shows you exactly how to do it.
So that's ungrounding. And what the lady's talking about, Grant, is how to get electricity out of a tree just by wrapping a copper wire around it. But anyway.
Yeah, I believe YouTube's got that too.
These are all good things to know about our future home and institution. I know Michael's probably got stuff about that, but we'll be in the future doing all these things. Thank you for reminding me about the copper wire. I've got two tomato plants I got last night, and I'm gonna try to make to see if the tomatoes will grow bigger, better, faster. Thanks,
this
Grace.
This is my first time here. How does the spiritual healing work? I sent a healing request in the email.
Well, the way it works is we pray, and virtue is the healing energy that is the name in the good book. And it goes from us, the community, amplified by the word and by our prayer for virtue to go to people. And then it goes into them, and the virtue knows before it even gets there what their problem is. And sometimes it helps people incrementally, instantly, gradually, we don't know. But all we can say, it's like somebody, a battery that's low in energy, a bigger battery comes along and the energy is transferred from one battery, the powerful battery, to the little battery. So that's the age-old question. How does it work? We know that we all have
life. Do I have to tell you what my issue is?
We have life force within us and we're boosting the other person's body with our life force, but not only with our life force, but by through and through the divine.
Yes, I believe in divine healing, but I've been dealing with this for a long time. And
well, you'll just have to keep coming out and figuring it out along the way, Grace. That's how we all do it. Your volume's turned down, Grace. I don't think we can hear you. Now you're silenced. Okay, so I have to go. I'll leave the meeting. God bless each and everybody. Have the remainder of a happy Father's Day. It's a pleasure to be here. I've got somebody coming, or should be here, my assistant right now, for some paperwork. So take care. Well done, Dave, in conducting the, along with Rebecca and Jack and Paul and the others, well done on sort of
on short notice, I guess, conducting the Sunday service.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll say goodbye to everybody. Take care.
Thank you, Douglas.
See you Wednesday.
Thank you.
Okay, have fun listening to the Coast to Coast. And don't forget, we have our own radio show, which we're broadcasting right now. And you can go there at Blog Talk Radio and look for The Global Village or my name. And it's produced by Paul Hughes. Okay, take care. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining the Many Mansions Sunday Interfaith Service with Reverend Douglas James Cottrell and the Many Mansions Clergy. Join us every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. And you can also join the service on Zoom by going to internationalschooloftheprophets.com. We also present a radio show here on Blog Talk Radio every Friday night on this Global Village channel at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindPro Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell & Associates, Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission.